Hi, everyone, and welcome to Boost Her, conversations designed to inspire you, me, and her. I'm your host, Nia Mason, and not only are we finishing up Changemakers Month with today's episode also marks our season 2 finale. Here to help us round out the end of the season is my friend, Catherine Chen, senior designer for Adidas Basketball and ultimate changemaker in the way of making room for women and girls within sport, both on the field of play and also in the professional space. Kat talks to us about her upbringing in a conservative Taiwanese household, which frequently clashed with also growing up in New York, the mecca of hip-hop, in-your-face basketball, as well as fashion and art. We learn how that clash affected Kat's confidence and her sense of self, and then how she was ultimately able to find her confidence, her voice, and what she knew to be her purpose in life. Lastly, as Kat transitions from her role at Adidas and into the next opportunity that awaits her, we learn how she views this next chapter of her life, the excitement of what's to come, and how Kat, as her path to success continues in an upward motion, decidedly has stopped looking to others for validation and is learning how to constantly cheer for and validate herself. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you as a former colleague, as a friend, and also someone that I'm just excited to hear and let the listeners hear more about your story overall, because I do think it's an amazing one.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here. First off, just thank you for thinking of me. I love what you're doing, empowering women, telling their stories. And I'm just really grateful that I get this opportunity to kind of share my story.
Oh, I feel like I'm the grateful one. One thing I regret so much is that we both have this similar love for sport, for pushing the game forward for women, for disrupting the apparel industry overall, but we never really got a chance to fully work together. And because of that, I don't think we've ever been able to have a candid conversation, or maybe like not at length, about our work experiences. So I want to first start out by just talking about what goes into your role as a senior designer for Adidas Basketball.
Yes, I'm currently the senior apparel designer for Adidas Basketball. My main project that I lead is signature apparel. So that pretty much means designing apparel for our athletes, which include Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell. I also work on women's apparel for basketball. I've also worked on the apparel for our new Fear of God partnership. The key responsibilities just include a lot of collaboration within our triad. For those who don't know what a triad is, it's pretty much the three components of what makes up the group of people that create product: design, marketing, and development. You know, I work with the design directors at the beginning of a season to help with the creative direction, to create that visual for what we're doing for that season. And I'm always aligned with the design team, which includes footwear counterparts, apparel, color materials, so that we're all speaking this consistent visual language. And then I work with marketing to ensure that we're filling these gaps in the markets. Like if there's something that's missing, let's create product that fills that hole. With development, we're just always trying to make sure that we're putting out quality product that looks good, but also can perform.
Thank you for running all that down. I actually don't think we've ever had like a detailed explanation of the product creation team. So thank you for doing that.
It took me a while to really wrap my head around it. People don't know, like, this corporate structure, there's just so much. I mean, I've been around for 8 years now, so I feel like I should know it. But yeah, it took me a while to really understand.
I'm literally still trying to understand. Your love for basketball is what, in my experience of working with you and watching you work, is something that I feel truly sets you apart in the design space in a positive way, of course. And I know playing basketball is a huge influence that brought you to the path that you're on now. Can you elaborate on that and also the other prior experiences that you've had that have led you to where you currently are within your career?
My journey's pretty unique. It's been shaped a lot by my childhood and where I come from. So I'm going to start from the very beginning. I was born and raised in Queens, New York, but also raised by very traditional Taiwanese immigrant parents. They migrated from Taiwan to New York in their 20s. So that's around the early 80s. As you can imagine, my life was and is still a straight culture clash, because it's a really unique juxtaposition being raised by Taiwanese parents with super traditional values, but also being raised in New York. It's crazy energy. There's this like rebellious, expressive energy in New York. There's a reason why people go there to pursue their dreams and to go for inspiration. It's because it's just amazing energy. As a little girl, I loved art and I was always off to the side drawing. I was this quiet girl, but I'm also from the birthplace of hip hop and the mecca of basketball. Because of that, there's just this other side of me that I really wanted to lean into. Because New York is this big sports city, I was a huge fan of the Knicks. Always will be, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
So, you know, like growing up from the mid 90s to early 2000s, the Knicks were that team. They were winning. They're making the playoffs. They had this edge to them where they were like getting into brawls. And it just felt so cool to be a part of that energy. And so I became really curious about it. That led to me wanting to play. My dad started taking me to the Junior Knicks and I was the only girl on the team, which was super uncomfortable, but I was okay with it because I was just so curious about it. With all of that, it was super confusing to my parents, my family, because I just didn't fit the quote unquote mold. You know, I wasn't quiet. I wasn't thin. I was athletic. Like I had an athletic body. I was outside playing all the time. I was loud. It was just something that they just didn't understand. On top of this creative side of me where I was drawing a lot, now on top of that, I was obsessed with the sport of basketball. And it kind of started to develop into this like depression and anxiety, because now looking back on it, I'm like, confidence is everything. Like if you believe in yourself, you can achieve anything. But at the time, I just didn't have it because I really didn't know who I was. The turning point was entering high school. I went to Bayside High School. It was an art school. So I began to really lean in to the craft and like focus on it. I was also starting to take basketball seriously. I became the starting point guard on a girls' varsity team. And my coach, who made such a huge impact on my life, he taught me everything about leadership, communication, roles and responsibilities, accountability, patience, resiliency. But most importantly, he taught me confidence. He was like, just be you, you know, and it worked. There's a reason why 94% of women in C-suite positions have played team sports, is because that teaches you all of the elements in life that kind of make you successful. From that point on, like just really being mentored by Coach P, I knew that my purpose was to just really stay on this path, to really make something out of this passion for art and sport. I was like, you know what, let me just go to school, because at that time I thought, you need to have a degree in order to get a career. So I went to the Fashion Institute of Technology and I majored in fine arts. I was also still playing basketball. I wasn't playing for school or anything like that, but just still playing for fun all around the city. There was Dykeman and Rucker and my friend and I, we had this light bulb that went off and it was just like, you know, there's all this energy going on uptown. Can we bring that downtown? So we went rogue and we just freaking did it. I used, you know, my newfound skills in design and I designed the brand identity for Showcase NYC. I made sponsorship pitch decks and locked down a uniform sponsor. We locked down Body Armor, which now is like this huge thing. But before it was just starting out as this new energy drink. Really helped with the logistics too of just setting up a league and organizing the teams. And it became part of the conversation with the West Forths, the Dykemans, Rutgers, all of that. It was a proud moment where I was just like, wow, we just did that. And this is where I want to be. I can make something happen out of art and sport. That's when I knew this is where I want to be. Let me start to lean into what that could look like.
Yeah.
And so I started to think about Adidas, Nike, and I started to apply. I think within 6 or 7 months, I got a call back from Adidas for a job doing uniforms for American football. I dropped everything, moved across the country within 2 weeks, slowly moved up, and after 4 years of being there, came to basketball.
I had no idea about any of that. You like start a basketball league in New York and you're just casually telling me about that. That's like a big deal.
It was cool because I don't think a lot of people know about it. It's just something that happened. And I don't talk about it unless there's a moment to do so. And so it's kind of cool to be able to share that.
Yeah. This is a common theme for me. This is like a selfish question that I always ask because I'm just so curious as to how women, especially women of color, navigate their workspaces that are predominantly white male. So of course, I'm going to ask you, has being an Asian American woman in spaces where mostly everyone from your counterparts to the leadership are mostly white men, has that shown up as an obstacle for you throughout your career?
It definitely has. A lot of it too is just culturally, because growing up in this traditional Taiwanese household, you know, you're not really encouraged to challenge your elders, you know, your authority. You're not told to do that. You're kind of just told to put your head down, work hard, keep it moving, don't talk about your feelings. So a lot of that has been a struggle for me. And many times I haven't felt valued or seen or heard. So it's always definitely been an obstacle.
When you said culturally, that is like the main obstacle. Like obviously there's going to be communication issues and all that, but that's with anyone. That could be with another Asian American counterpart, but it's not understanding cultural nuances between your counterparts that can just play such a big role. And I feel like that is underestimated in the corporate space, that there has to be some level of cultural acknowledgement when you're working with different people from different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And it just isn't talked about enough, in my opinion.
Yeah, agreed.
One thing that is common about our roles within product creation is that we are building products for some of the top athletes, influencers, you name it, of the world. And I know you've come across a few big egos because we've come across some of the same big egos. How do you manage that dynamic within your space?
Listen, it's really as simple as that. And it comes natural to me because I am an introvert. So I love to listen and pay attention. And I usually hear the things that a lot of people don't catch. And I've learned that many times the source of conflict is miscommunication. People get mad when they don't feel like they're being heard. So I believe my job as a designer to a collaborator, whether it's an athlete, musician, or a high-end fashion designer, it's to give them a voice. So I need to use my creativity and expertise to convey what's in their mind and to just really bring their thoughts to life.
You handle it way better than I do. I can say that very definitively. I think, however, the egos, the lack of diversity in some cases, they can be little agitators to us excelling in our roles from time to time. Have you ever reached moments in your career where you felt like you wanted to pack it all up and be done? And if you have, what have those moments looked like and how have they played out?
There's been so many moments, you know, there's been a lot of moments of frustration where I have a great idea and I think it's a great idea. Other people are validating it, but it gets doubted or even shot down. But I think with my journey of just kind of knowing where I want to be, I constantly have to remind myself to choose my battles and to remember that this impact that I'm trying to make is just much bigger than me and my ego. I would say one of my proudest projects and moments in my career has been in football, where a few years into the role, I kind of noticed that we kept speaking to the same consumer over and over again, the elite male athlete. I started to think, because I was a girl who grew up in sport, I was like, oh, I wonder if there's any girls playing football. And so I linked up with two other girls, Marissa and Marissa, and we did some research and we saw that flag football and also contact football was slowly growing as a sport that girls like to play in the country. So one day I got introduced to Jen Welter. She was on campus at Adidas. She is the first female NFL coach. So she coached for the Arizona Cardinals. We got introduced, and once we started talking, we connected on just being a woman in this male-dominated sports industry. And she told me that she was trying to teach girls the fundamentals of football and kind of just show them that it's okay. You know, this is a level playing field and you are allowed to be in it. It took so much pushing and convincing, but with the help of the team and people who supported and just a lot of people that made such an impact on this, we ended up being able to sign her to this 2-year brand partnership deal where we would help her go around the country, hold these football camps and really empower girls and teach them the fundamentals of football, but also just life. Had this amazing activation in Atlanta during the 2019 Super Bowl. where we held this big camp and all these girls came. It was just amazing. So that one really took a lot of resiliency, but we kept pushing and just to all of the people that helped, like, we made it happen.
I love how you have had these like major milestones and you're like, oh, we just did a girls camp at Super Bowl and we signed the first NFL. Like, these are huge things. And I remember, I don't think we had met yet, but I remember we did a brand share out of it. And I remember everyone in the room being like, that was incredible. This is amazing. This was such a big moment. And I love that you're just sitting there like, yeah, we did this. It was huge. I loved it. I loved every part of it. Kind of in that same vein of agitators, we also can experience motivators towards taking leaps of faith within our role. Sometimes they're connected to points of agitation, of course, but sometimes they can be motivated just by a change in perspective, which I think is where you're at now in your career. I think you're currently leaping, if I'm not mistaken. Can you talk to us about what that feels like for you right now and what has already come from taking that first leap and what you hope will come from it?
So yeah, at this current moment, I submitted my resignation at Adidas and my 8-year tenure is about to come to an end. It's something that has been on my mind for a couple of years now. It began pre-pandemic where I was beginning to feel kind of burnt out. I always put 100% into everything that I do. And I think my intuition and my body was trying to tell me that, you know, maybe it's time to move on. But I stuck around because that's just the logical thing to do. It's easy to stay comfortable at this 9-to-5 job with great benefits, somewhat security. And it also just was me not wanting to let anyone down. Everyone was so proud of me for making it to this big company that everyone knows, but I had to do what my body was telling me to do. So it's not until a few months into the pandemic during lockdown at home where I was watching the news, seeing everything going on in the world around us, it put my life into perspective. I really had to be honest with myself. And I asked myself, how do I want my life to look? I've spent the last 30 plus years just putting everyone else's needs before me. What do I want to do now? The outcome is still to be determined, but it's currently feeling really good. Just betting on myself. I've been approached with some exciting opportunities so far. And I just don't think that would have came if I didn't let go of what wasn't serving me.
Do you feel like it's an avenue to go to another brand and continue the work to build on what I've done at Adidas? Or is it like, I mean, you've expressed it throughout the interview, how entrepreneurial you are. Is that maybe more of the lane that you feel?
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning into the entrepreneurial lane. I've spent so much time at this corporate industry, the structure, and I'm super grateful for it because I've learned so much. But yeah, I think it's time to kind of lean into that, doing things on my own.
Let me know when you're up for hire because okay, the Booster Up segment is here, but I think we're going to give it a remix for this episode because I know both the high and low of your journey that we're going to discuss today, they're very intertwined. So I'll just ask one Booster Up question. Talk to me about the significant low that you faced along your journey, how you made it through, what from that low that you carry with you now, and then go into how it has led to your most significant high.
I moved up pretty quick in my career, just considering how I got into Adidas with no formal training. I came in as this entry-level tech designer that knew very little about the corporate structure, as well as just even having the design skills in general. But I really grinded to level up and within 5 years became this senior apparel designer. And I was leading some big ranges with big brand partners. You know, my life has been about progress and elevation. So moving up was always in my plan. When the time came to make the next move, I applied for an elevated position and I was told I was ready for it. So I was like, all right, I got this. So I went through the interview process, didn't end up getting the position, but you know, for me, I was just like, all right, I trust the process. Maybe I'm just not ready. But there was this discomfort that just wouldn't leave me in my gut. And I spoke to my network of friends, people that I work with, leaders that I've worked with. And then I just sat and reflected on all of the great work that I've done in the last 8 years. And it all just showed me that I was ready. They just couldn't find a space for me. It was super painful, just kind of living in that doubt where people around me were telling me how great I was. But for some reason, I just didn't know where I belonged. Like there was no space for me. And like this confidence was at an all-time low. And I questioned myself a lot every day for about, 7 months. And I sat in those feelings and just kept processing it. And like I mentioned before, it's just a very difficult thing for me to do since I grew up in a culture and family where we're really not taught that stuff, to be emotional. But I did it. I cried, I prayed, meditated, talked to my boyfriend, sister, friend, like everything. I journaled, I listened to all of the Oprah podcasts I could find, like just, I did everything to help process what I was feeling. I think because I really faced all of that head on and just kind of let the feeling sit, I was finally able to just be honest with myself and just kind of think, it is what it is sometimes. I can't control everything and that's okay. If they can't find space for me, then I'm just going to go find my own space. It was just kind of groundbreaking for me because I'm like, I spent the last few years asking for other people's approval and validation that I got so used to my identity and confidence being in someone else's hands. I realized that, this isn't it. There's bigger plans for me out there. But in order to make space for what's bigger and better, I really need to let go of what doesn't serve me. I saw my own value and I bet on myself because, I'm the only one that's always going to be in my own corner. Since making that decision to resign, I've already been brought forth like some opportunities that already excite me and align with my passion. It really was just all due to betting on myself and trusting the process.
The low obviously is like getting passed up for a job that you're ready for, that you've been working towards. And the high is that you really get to like come into your own and figure out where you want to be and what you want to do and find that fire again.
Yeah, which is so difficult. And it really took time to just lean into it. So yeah, that was definitely my high. I'm constantly learning about myself and how I process things, what keeps me grounded. And it was really worth all of that low.
The lows are worth it. Obviously, it doesn't feel like it at the time. No. But the recurring theme throughout season two is that you come out on the other side and you find that you're really thankful for going through that valley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that you referenced trusting your gut too, because I just had Hillary on, Hillary LaRose, and she told this story about trusting your gut. And it's just been such a common theme throughout this Changemakers Month. You don't really get to make change without really trusting yourself, which I think is what you're figuring out and what you're doing for yourself.
Yeah. And again, it leads back to this cultural thing for me was I was so used to being told how to feel and what to do that I didn't have that intuition growing up. It really took a lot of time to kind of learn that. And now I'm leaning more into it and I'm seeing that your gut tells you a lot. And so you really got to just listen to it sometimes.
I love that. We're done. You did such a great job. I really appreciate you being vulnerable. I really appreciate you sharing aspects that I had no idea about. And I'm so excited to share with our base. Is there anything else that you want to share or add before I let you go?
I just really thank you for kind of giving me this platform to share my voice and my story. So thank you.
Yeah, no, I mean, this has been great. And I just feel like we just missed each other in terms of working together on projects. So I know that we'll continue to have conversations even outside of this one, but I'm just really excited to see what's next because I know how talented you are and I know how driven you are. And it's just really exciting.
Thank you. It's cool because I feel like we're going to keep in touch,
That's we
like,
better.
We had a chance to talk before, but now it kind of feels like funny that we're getting closer.
Maybe we just needed to not work together because we both were living in that burnout phase. We just didn't have time for each other. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Thank you again. And as much of a change maker as I see you as, we have a whole group of listeners who will identify with you in that same way just because of the story that you've told us today. So thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Boost Her. Conversations designed to inspire you, me, and her. Kat undoubtedly will be shaking the design world up as she embraces the future opportunities at her fingertips, and we can't wait to see what she is up to next. We will be keeping in touch with Kat and constantly featuring her on our Instagram, so feel free to give us a follow at BoostHerPodcast, all one word. This season was one for the books, and I truly hope you all enjoyed it as much as we did here in the Booster Club. Thank you to every single one of you that listened, reached out, or shared our platform with your friends, family, coworkers, and the like. A big thank you also to all of the wonderful boosters that joined us with the strength, grace, and vulnerability that made for such an inspirational collection across season 2. While we'll be taking a short break from new episodes, keep an eye out for all of the sound bites and quotes of wisdom from all of our amazing boosters across seasons 1 and 2 that we'll be posting on Instagram. Again, thank you for listening to Boost Her, where we will happily pull up a seat at the table for you as a reminder that while individually we may be great, collectively we are magic.